This is Carol Foster of 2 Timothy 2:15 Resources, and I am so excited that you're going to join me today as we study God's Word. The response new Messianic believers give when asked why they initially visited a Messianic congregation is, "We knew there had to be more." As we study together, we will begin to see that yes, indeed, there has to be more. For additional study aids to assist you in studying along with us, go to our website, sectim.org. Have there been times in your life when you felt kind of dumb? Have you ever done dumb things and still come out of them smelling like a rose? Have you ever wondered how someone like you has ever survived as well as you have? Well, you're in good company. That is, if you consider me good company. When I was writing one of my studies, and it was on the 23rd Psalm, I discovered that just like the sheep in that psalm, I just wasn't very bright when it came to taking care of myself by myself. I actually titled the study, "Lord, I'm Just a Dumb Sheep." There are times when I think, how can I possibly succeed in what I'm trying to do or even what God has called me to do? I don't know what that positive thinking population would think about saying something like this, but if each of us were really honest with ourselves, we would admit that we all have times and thoughts like this. If I try to psych myself up with a lot of clever, man-centered sayings, it lasts just so long, and then here I go again. Yet my thoughts of inadequacy do not devastate me, because I know where success comes from. It is wonderful to be able to honestly evaluate yourself and not be depressed or devastated by the facts. How can we do this? By looking beyond what we are to what my God is and to what that means to each of us as individuals in our very personal and practical way. Do you know what I discovered? It doesn't really matter what I am. It only matters who He is, for He is all I need. He is my Jehovah Ra, the Lord my shepherd. And because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Oh, what a wonderful revelation the Ruach HaKodesh gave to each of us as he breathed these words through the pen of David. How much better this is than positive thinking and man-made sayings. How much better is it to cling to the precepts of Jehovah, for he has magnified his word above his name. Psalms 138 verse 2 tells us, "I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth, for you have magnified your word above all your name." Can we see the difference? A difference that seems so subtle that we may wonder why I even bring it up? Subtle though it may be, it is the difference between the natural and the spiritual, between man's ways and Jehovah's ways. To me, positive thinking is humanistic, for even though it gives lip service to Jehovah, it still puts man at the center. It says, "Believe in yourself, you can do it." One of my father's favorite sayings was, "You can do anything you want to, if you want it bad enough." Again, this is man's thoughts and not God's ways. Yet, God's words tells us in Romans 7:18, "For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For the willing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not." And in John 15, verse 5, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Rather than believing in ourselves, seeing our poverty, we can turn to his precepts and with faith in Jehovah, say as Rabbi Shaul did in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." This is to think biblically, to believe what Jehovah says. This is divine. What does Jehovah think about you and I? Many things, and all of them are precious. We see this in Psalms 139, verses 17 and 18. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Yet his thoughts are based on an honest evaluation of what we are like, which is sometimes pretty scary. The word tells us in Isaiah 53, verse 6, all of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. And in John 10, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Again in Psalms 100, verse 3, know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. In Ezekiel 34, 11 through 12, we read, for thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd cares for his herd in the day when he is among them, his scattered sheep, so I will care for my sheep and will deliver them from all the places to which they were scattered on a cloudy and gloomy day. Finally, in John 21, verse 17, we read, he to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. All of the positive words and sayings in the world couldn't change the fact that sheep are sheep. What makes a difference in sheep is the shepherd. Sheep are the dumbest animals of all. They are helpless, timid, feeble animals that require constant attention and meticulous care. Sheep have little means of self-defense. In my inductive study of the 23rd Psalm, Lord, I'm just a dumb sheep, I wrote this about sheep. If they do not have the constant care of a shepherd, they will go the wrong way, unaware of the dangers at hand. They've even been known to graze themselves right off of a mountainside. If they're not led to proper pastures, they will obliviously eat or drink anything and all things, even those that are harmful to them. Not only that, they will literally live their lives in a rut if the shepherd does not lead them to new and green pastures. Sheep easily fall prey to other animals. When they do, they are utterly defenseless without their shepherd to protect them. Sheep can also be cast down. That is, they are either exhausted that they lie down and can't get up, or their wool becomes so heavy and matted that when they lie down, they are unable to get up, or they're even caught in a thicket and end up lying on the ground, or they're just too sick and weak to get up on their feet. Once in this state, their digestive systems slow down, and their position cuts off the blood supply to their limbs, and they panic and die. And so because sheep are sheep, they need good and kind shepherd to care for them. Now, we can understand why they are sometimes referred to as dumb sheep. Why did Jehovah create them that way? I believe he had a twofold purpose. First, to show us our total absolute poverty of spirit. And second, to show us our need of a shepherd. As I said before, what makes the sheep is the shepherd. The welfare of sheep depends solely upon the care they get from their shepherd. Therefore, the better the shepherd, the better the sheep. When we see sheep that are weak, sickly, and infested with pests, we can be sure that their shepherd really doesn't care about them. What is our great and good shepherd like? If we can learn that, we will understand why we can confidently say, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." Believe it, and you will know a life of perfect rest. Walk in it, in the obedience of faith, and you will experience contentment no matter what the circumstances of your life. In James chapter 3, verse 2, we read, "For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Even though we do dumb things, even though we're not perfect, even though we all stumble in so many ways, we can succeed because the Lord is our shepherd. Jehovah designed us to be who we are in order that we would see our great need of Him. In Him, we find all that we need. Thus, we can say with total confidence and convictions, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." There are so many references to our Jehovah in His shepherd role that we'll not have time to look at them all. If you would like to study this in depth, I have previously completed a study on Jehovah Ra, "The Lord is my shepherd." It's available on our website, sectim.org, under the title of "Lord, I'm just a dumb sheep." However, I do want us to have the joy of Jehovah speaking to you as your Jehovah Ra. In this session, I would like us to observe several verses from John chapter 10. As we look at these passages, I want us to use some of the tools that we have learned so far. They are the key words or phrases, contrasts, comparisons, terms of conclusions, and or expressions of time. We also want to ask our 5 W's in an H question of the text. If you're doing the study with us, you'll want to use either a T-chart or lists to gather more information as well. I'll put a T-chart on the sectim.org website as a free download for you. If you all have time, pick a favorite verse and memorize it. The first group of verses that I want us to look at is from John 10, verses 1 through 17. I want to read them so that we can get the full impact of them. This chapter holds Yeshua's discourse on the sheep, the good shepherd, the thieves, robbers, and hired men who also may interact with His sheep. "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him, because they do not know the voice of strangers." This figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what these things were which he had been saying to them. So Jesus said to them again, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If someone enters through me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming, and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me, even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it again." In the same chapter of John, in verses 24 through 33, we read, "The Jews then gathered around him and were saying to him, 'How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly.' Jesus answered them, 'I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they testify of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. The Jews picked up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, I showed you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you stoning me? The Jews answered him, For a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself out to be God. The first thing I want us to do is to identify the key words or phrases in these passages. The word sheep is mentioned 17 times, and pronouns that refer to the sheep numbers 15. That's a total of 32 times in one chapter. Well, that surely tells us that sheep and its pronouns are definitely a key word. If you're making lists or putting information into a T-chart, you will need to make sure that one of your columns is labeled, What I Learned About Sheep. So, what have we learned about sheep in John 10? Well, we learned that the sheep must enter through the door into the fold, and that the true shepherd of the sheep enters by the door. The sheep hear the true shepherd's voice, and the sheep are called by name. The sheep are led by the shepherd, and the sheep follow their shepherd. The sheep know his voice, and the sheep did not hear the shepherds who came before Yeshua. The sheep will be saved, and the sheep will go in and out and find pastures. Again, the sheep know their shepherd. Also, there are other sheep, which are not of this fold, and the other sheep will also hear the shepherd's voice. The other sheep will join with the others and become one flock. The shepherd's sheep hear his voice, and the shepherd's sheep will follow him. The sheep will not follow the voice of a stranger, and the sheep will be deserted by the thief, the robber, or the hired hand, as he will flee when danger approaches, and the sheep will be scattered, and the sheep may be snatched by predators. We also learned that the sheep will have eternal life, and the sheep will have been given to the good shepherd by his Father, and no one can take the sheep out of the Father's hand. The next key word we want to look at is the shepherd. Again, I want us to look at everything we can learn about the shepherd from John 10. You want to label your next column in either your T-chart or in your list paper as What I Learned About the Shepherd. The good shepherd enters through the door into the fold of the sheep. The door to the fold is opened by the doorkeeper. His voice is known by his sheep, and he leads his sheep out of the fold. He has gone and will go ahead of his sheep. His voice is known by his sheep, and they follow him. He is the door, and any entering through him will be saved. We also see that he comes that his sheep have life and have it abundantly. He is the good shepherd. He knows his own. He lays his life down for the sheep. We also see that he has other sheep from another fold, and he will bring them into his flock. His voice is heard by the other sheep as well, and he will put sheep from both folds together into one flock. He will be the shepherd of the combined flocks. He is not the shepherd of some sheep. They do not hear his voice, and they do not follow him. He gives his sheep eternal life, and they will never perish. He gives life more abundantly. The Father has given his sheep to him. He and the Father are one. Our next column on the T-chart or your list would be the keyword, the thief. So let's see what we find out about the thief. He does not enter the sheepfold by way of the door. He climbs up some other way. He's a thief and a robber. The doorkeeper does not open the door for him. He's a stranger to the sheep, and the sheep will not follow him. We see that the sheep will run from him because they do not know his voice. They come before Yeshua, and Yeshua's sheep did not hear them. We see that he comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. He may be a hired hand and not a shepherd. He is not the owner of the sheep, and he does not protect the sheep. If he sees a wolf coming, he leaves the sheep and flees. He flees because he's not concerned about the sheep. We also see in verses 27 through 30 that there are things about the thief, the robber, and the hired hand. Let me reread these verses so that we may remain in context. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father has given them to me, and he is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand, for the Father and I are one. If what Yeshua is saying about himself, that he is the good shepherd, then there is a negative side to shepherds other than he. The thief, the robber, and the hired hand, not only do the sheep not hear their voices, they don't follow them. The sheep that follow them do not have eternal life. The sheep that follow them will perish, and the sheep will be snatched out of the hand of the thief, the robber, and the hired hand. This is frightening when you look at the unstated but understood negative. The next key word that we'll add to either your T-chart or your list is Yeshua. Yeshua is the one delivering this discourse. He's the door of the sheep, and all who came before him were thieves and robbers. Yeshua again reiterates that he is the door. If anyone enters into the sheepfold through Yeshua, he will be saved and find pasture. Yeshua brings life and life abundantly. He is the good shepherd. Yeshua will lay down his life for his sheep, and he knows his own and are known by his own. The Father knows Yeshua, and Yeshua knows the Father. Again, we see that he states he lays down his life for his sheep, and that he has other sheep from another fold. Yeshua will bring them together and make them into one flock, and he will be their shepherd. Again, we see that he lays his life down so that he may take it again. Those who do not believe the works that Yeshua did, they are not his sheep. His voice is heard and followed by his own sheep. Yeshua gives eternal life, and his sheep will not perish. Yeshua's Father has given him his sheep, and the Yeshua and the Father are one. The last key word that we want to look at in this session is the Father. It is implied that the doorkeeper is the Father, related to the fact that the Father gave Yeshua the sheep. The Father loves Yeshua, and all the works that Yeshua does, he does them in the Father's name. The Father has given the sheep to Yeshua, and the Father is greater than all. No one can snatch the sheep out of the Father's hand. The Father and Yeshua are one. When it's safe, take the time to listen to this session again and fill in your T-charts or your list so that you can see for yourself the importance of these key words and how they fit together to give us a picture of the relationship between the Father and Yeshua. Remember, you can download these free from our website, secTIM.org. Yeshua and his sheep. Now, I am sure that you recognize that those that believe in Yeshua is the promised Messiah, and that he did just what this verse says. He went before us, showing us the way that we should live, but also the promise of he took his life up so that we shall live. We have been promised eternal life. We shall not perish, and that we too will take our lives back when he comes again. Yeshua laid down his life for his sheep, and we as believers in Messiah are indeed his sheep. So all of the promises, the care and security that the Good Shepherd provided for his sheep are ours today and forever. One last question for this session. How has Jehovah spoken to you today? Take a few minutes and spend with your Father, and let him reveal himself to you as Jehovah Ra, the Lord who is my shepherd. Thank you for joining us today as we delve into the beautiful truths of God's Word to indeed discover that there has to be more. I pray that the Word applied to your daily life will bring a deeper understanding of His love letter written just to you. Let me remind you that we have additional study aids to assist you with our studies together on our website, secTIM.org. May this day fill you with the love of God, joy, and shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken in your life.